Speak to us, Lord. We feel you. The movement of your spirit, the touch of your hand, we know you are there. We see you. Your words and your world stand before us. We know you are there. So speak to us again. Encourage us on our way as we seek your way. All this we ask in the strong name of our brother and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Have you ever felt a little out of place as a member of the United Church of Canada? Not that you don't feel at home in this denomination or in this church, but maybe that you've had to qualify your faith when someone asks you, which church do you belong to? For some, this might seem like a weird question, especially for those of us who are cradle United Church folk. For example, I was born, baptized, and bred in the United Church of Canada. And it is to service in this denomination that I felt my call to ministry. I'm proud to be a member of the United Church. But that doesn't mean that I haven't faced my fair share of jibes, mostly good-natured to be sure, and questions like, as a United Church person, am I actually a Christian? I'll share one personal story that kind of crystallizes this point that I'm trying to make. It's from when I was in high school. I had a good friend, best friend, really. We did everything together. We played hockey together. We went to the movies together. We did our homework together, or at least we, you know, pretended to. We got in trouble together. We were good friends. For a while, we even got to go to church together, and even were confirmed in the same United Church. Not long after that, though, he and his family started going to an Anglican church. It didn't really change our friendship, but when the topic of faith came up around the supper table, and I ate supper at their place a lot, my church was often referred to as the untied church. Untied. What does that even mean? From what little I knew about the United Church history at the time, I assumed that it meant that while our roots were in other denominations, we weren't tied to them. And so I laughed along with them, ha ha, untied church. But that wasn't it, I came to learn. Untied meant that we weren't tied down to anything, that everything was up for grabs. Being a creedal people, the focus on Scripture, the divinity or even existence of Christ, even belief in God were not necessarily things that we were tied to here in the United Church of Canada, at least from the perspective of other denominations looking in. Over the years, as I grew in my faith and felt my call, I came to understand how some could come to that determination of this church, even if I myself didn't agree with them. Where many denominations, for example, have decisions being made from the top down, our congregational roots mean that we work the other way, that most often decisions have to be made from the congregation up. And you know it as well as I, that going from one United Church to another, while it can look familiar, it can often be very different, even feel very different as a worship experience. I mean, it's why we have so many United Churches, right? Untied? Perhaps untied to a prayer book or broadly defined worship structure, sure. But oh, how the Holy Spirit can move in such liberty. We have also been something of a radical denomination since our inception. We've been ordaining women since early on, recognizing the gifts of those in the LGBT community to serve in ordained ministry without restriction, standing up for equal marriage in Canada, untied, perhaps, to the conventional ways of being church. But I think that that has allowed us to offer places of love, acceptance, and celebration that you can't always find in a church. But I think what hurt the most when I look back on that untied title is the suggestion that we don't believe in God, or that Christ has no place in our churches. This has led to some bizarre conversations with my kindred in other denominations. Like, did you know that when we are baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, that baptism is like a passport to other denominations? Presbyterians, Lutherans, United Church, Roman Catholics, and Anglicans, that baptism is a passport to those churches. We don't need to be rebaptized. That's wonderful. Well, unless you were baptized in the United Church in recent years. So if you wanted to marry a Catholic person, you shouldn't have to be rebaptized. But in the United Church, it requires some investigation. Many are the phone conversations that I have had with priests who are double-checking the wording of the baptism. Because there are those in the United Church who change the wording, who drop the Trinitarian formula altogether. Now you might hear that and be like, well, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer, isn't that the same as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Well, no, it's not. Not to our brothers and sisters in faith. What might seem small to some is of great importance to others. And so that's led to some broken hearts over the years, when I may have had to say, no, that's not how a minister did that here before. So why is this important right now? Why am I telling you about this untied story and my experiences with other denominations over the years? Where are the strings to the reading today? Well, very recently, in the Toronto Conference of the United Church of Canada, there was a settlement. A settlement allowing a self-professed atheist to continue ministering in a United Church. Details are slim, but that's the headline. What do I say to my younger self or to my Anglican friend? Am I still a Christian? Am I untied because of my denominational affiliation? I cannot help but hear the cry of the Rabshakeh standing at the gates of Jerusalem, that those things that we have put our faith in are false. In the reading, Jerusalem was under siege. And sometimes it can feel like that in the church. Strong language, I know. From inside, we hear voices shouting that there is no God, that prayer is pointless. The traditions that we hold dear have no value. And then there's the voice from outside crying, how can you be Christian with voices like that in leadership? Like King Hezekiah, I feel like ripping my clothes in anxiety, because maybe those voices crying from outside and from within are right. Maybe we aren't who we thought we were. But then Isaiah says those four words that come from the prophets, the Psalms, from the lips of the Savior himself. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Throughout our holy scriptures, during the worst times when all seems lost, God's voice rings out, do not be afraid. When we see no way to go, do not be afraid, for God is with us. We are not alone. God creates a new way. For me, in this time, as I reflected on the news of our church, I hear those words most keenly, do not be afraid, for I am with you. And it is true. We are not alone. Those last few words come from the United Church Statement of Faith called a new creed, something we've been saying here every week for the last few months. As I reread a new creed and other faith statements of the United Church of Canada, I see how deeply grounded we are in our faith. We hold the Bible as a primary source for God's word while also acknowledging that God is still speaking in and through creation, that indeed the work of creation is not done, that we are a work in progress. God has created and is creating. And believe it or not, we also believe in sin, that it's a real thing, even if, as Pastor Sarah mentioned last week, we shy away from the term. We see the brokenness in this world, broken relationships between one another, broken trust, broken hearts, and a broken connection between creation and the divine. And yes, we can come to know what sin is. But we also hold true to grace. And this is the most important part of my reading of our faith statements. Grace is the work that God does in us that we don't ask for, that we might not even know about, or even deserve. And yet, we have it, because we are loved and cherished by God. I said that grace was the most important piece of reading over the last few weeks, because it isn't mine to give or receive or refuse. Rather, I should be working as though God's grace is already at work in my brothers and sisters in this world. In the United Church of Canada, we often use this analogy of having a big tent. Have you ever heard that? That we are a big tent church where all are welcome, where all can find a place. And while I struggle with tent poles that extend beyond the belief in God or the importance of Christ being named as Lord and at the center of our being in what is undoubtedly a Christian denomination, I cannot help but be thankful in some way for those who have challenged me with what they believe, or rather don't believe. In my reading and in my hearing of what they have to say to the church, I have found my own faith deepened and strengthened. And because of that grace, and in light of Pastor Sarah's message last week, I am reminded that we, the United Church of Canada, don't hold the whole truth, don't have the whole story, but we do have something to offer. And that is only when we come together in the sharing of what God has given us, has revealed to us, that we come to know the greater truth that God is revealing to the world. I'm still proud to be a part of the United Church of Canada, privileged and humbled to be in a position of spiritual leadership here in this place. I think that one of the great blessings of the United Church is the constant dialogue that we're having with ourselves about who and whose we are. I am also proud to claim Christ as my Savior and the center of my being, privileged and humbled to be a co-creator in this world with each of you. So maybe we are untied, unrestricted in the roads where God might call us, unbound in the ways that we can come to know Christ alive in us and our lives, untethered in how far we can go with the Holy Spirit as our guide. And yes, untied might mean that sometimes we trip, that we might fall, that we might even hurt ourselves along the way. But we are still united as we seek the ways in which we are called to be the church, to celebrate what God is doing in and through us, still united in serving our communities and our world in a way that reflects Christ, God among us, still united, wrapped up in the Holy Spirit as we find ways to agree and disagree and ultimately listen for the still small voice of God that is speaking to the church. And God is speaking in our doubts and in our fears. God is still speaking, still saying things like, "Do not be afraid." But at the top of your bulletins is another thing God said in the person of Jesus Christ. "You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hidden." That means that no matter how dark it gets, we have been given a light. Not our own light, not the light of just any old candle, but the light of Christ. A light that has been placed within us that we must let shine. And that light shines on the good news of God's great love. It also means that we cannot, should not, silence the voices among us that cause us to doubt and to question in the first place. Indeed, it is through the reflecting on those times when our faith conflicts with the faith or story of another that we can come to a deeper understanding of who and whose we are. We worry that those voices change who we are and what we believe somehow, but we're coming about it all wrong. The voice of the Rabshakeh shout, though he did, at the walls of Jerusalem may have shaken the faith of King Hezekiah, but it did nothing to shake the faith that God had in those chosen people. The words, the whispers, the war cries of others might cause us to tremble and to doubt, but never lose faith in God's faith in you. We are united. We are untied. And we are beloved children of God, kindred in Christ, and chasers of the Holy Spirit wherever it goes. Amen.